What advice would you have to a young minister? Maybe preaching or pastoral or anything. And this is really just for me.
Right. Okay. Well, that's... There's so much, my brother. The pastoral life is not an easy life. Anybody thinks that, it's very foolish. There are many troubles and trials and tribulations. But I was thinking even for the congregation, which would be applicable to them too, very much so, and applicable to us. And I think the first thing I would say to any young pastor is cultivate a deep love for the Savior. I think that's priority number one. Because I often think that our Lord's words to Ephesus, the church at Ephesus, in his letter in the Revelation, the Lord had much to commend that church for, much to commend it for. It was a good, sound church in many, many ways. But the Lord said, however, I have somewhat against thee. Thou hast left thy first love. And then he said these remarkable words, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of this place, except I repent. So the Lord put tremendous emphasis on love, and their first love, that's Christ. Christ is our first love. And he puts tremendous emphasis on that. And even when he was talking to Peter, remember after the resurrection, and he was talking about the disciples and what would happen to them and what would happen to Peter. And he was sort of commissioning Peter to go and feed his lambs and his sheep. Three times he basically put to Peter, Simon, lovest thou me? He put that three times to him. And then he said after each time, feed my sheep. That was essential. And I think it is essential that we love the Lord and we're not ashamed to have ourselves Calvinists or whatever. But foremost, first and foremost, we need to attend to our love for the Lord. For if we grow cold there, we'll be useless. We may be doctrinally sound and all the rest of it, as the Church of Ephesus, the Large Rima. But if we lose our love for him, our ministry's over. So I would say cultivate a deep love for the Savior. Don't neglect that. Get to know him, not just to know about him and what he said and what he taught and what he did, but to know him and to love him. Love him above all else. Above all else. Above father, mother, brother, sister, husband, wife, son, daughter, whatever. Even life itself. Love the Lord. And if you love the Lord, if the congregation loves the Lord will bless you and bless the congregation. And of course, you, in referring to the congregation, the Lord, the scriptures, the Lord said to love one another, for by this all men will know ye are my disciples. So cultivate a deep love for the Savior. And cultivate a deep love for the scriptures. Now, I know you have that personally, brother. But love the scriptures. Hold scriptures dear as the very words of the living God, as indeed they are. They are. And in many ways, the written scriptures are better for us than an audible voice out of heaven. presumable flesh out of heaven, well, we might misunderstand it. We might forget something that was said, or whatever, but when we have the written word of God in this God's word, we read it, that's God speaking to us, his very words. And love those, love that word, love every jot and every tittle of it. Don't let any of it. The word of God's under attack today, as the Savior is, who is the incarnate word. I was just reading there was a survey taken out. It was R.C. Sproul's group. They did it. And they reckon that 30% of evangelicals doubt the divinity of Christ. Don't believe it. 30% in America. So, cultivate a love for the Savior. Cultivate a love for the Scriptures. Stick to them, brother. That's what the church needs. It doesn't need the entertainments that are trying to replace the Scriptures, you know, the programs, all the rest of it. We had one man, and he was with the Salvation Army, and he came to us, big police sergeant in Calgary, and he came to us, and there we were sitting, he came to us when we were in the Spruce Field Hall, and we had nothing there. Just a wee handful of people. Joan Warnock played the organ for us. No, not Joan. Joan's daughter-in-law, Alan Warnock's daughter, a wife, rather, played the organ for us. And Joan would sing. She was the only singer we ever had. And poor Joan, she was called on her more times. So we had really nothing. And this man came, the building he came from, a beautiful big building. And Selfish Mommy, all the music, the programs, and all the rest of it. And I said to him one day, "Brother, what brings you here? What brings you here?" I said, "Like the lovely church and all you left, and look at we have nothing here, and we have no programs and no special." I said, "Brother," he says, "I got tired of all that program, and then 10 minutes at the end of the meeting for the Word of God, and even then it wasn't much of a word." And in those days I preach for an hour. I would still do it if I'd get away with it here. But anyway, he loved the word. And that's what will build your church, the word. These other things might get people in for a while, but not build your church. It'll fall away eventually. And it'll be turned into an amusement hall, a social gathering. Love the word, the scriptures, love the Savior. And love the saints. Love one another. That's tradition has it anyway. That John, the Apostle John, amongst his last words, when they carried him into the service, he raised himself up his elbow and he says, "Little children, love one another." And that's so important. Love. Love one another. Love the Savior, love the Scriptures, but love one another. Love your flock. Love your people. They may, some of them, I'm not suggesting they will be in Calgary, but sometimes we meet the most difficult of people in our ministries. Most difficult. And you will be saying to yourself at times, "What did I ever do on that person?" And for the life of you, you can't think what you've done on them, but somehow, why? Some reason why they're awkward with you, they turn on you, they oppose you, and you're at a loss, and you've had to. I've had to go before the Lord. "Lord, I don't know what I've done, and they won't tell me. And if I've done anything, I'd gladly put it right. And Lord, turn this about, for I don't want this." We should love one another, and that's important. And there's love in the church, love in the congregation. People will gravitate to it. And God will be glorified. And people will know that we're different. Care for one another, even. The Lord says, "Love your enemies." Yeah, that's a hard one. You need all the grace of God to do that, let alone love your difficult brethren. Love your enemies. No, pray for those who persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely. So we have to cultivate love for the saints and love for the souls of men. Never lose that. Weep for them, brother. Weep for them. Let them break your heart. Don't steel yourself against it. Weep for them. Remember, they're on the way to hell. And no matter what they do, no matter what they do, how awkward they are, how cruel they are, how unkind they are, how wicked they are, think of the hell that awaits them. And remember what God has done for you, and what God has done for me, and the sins He has forgiven us. And we weren't, well, at least I wasn't always, I know I was still quite young, but I wasn't always a woman of God. I beckoned God, I reverenced God, but I didn't love Him. And He forgave me. And so we need to forgive and love and care for the souls of men, realizing the awful hell that they're going through. We wouldn't want anybody to go there, not our worst enemies. Not our worst enemies. So I think these are bits of advice I give to any young man and any young minister, and also to a congregation. Congregation, I think that if they implement these things, then God will bless them, God will be with them. There'll be ups and downs, there'll be problems, there'll be difficulties, but God will bless and honour those that love Him and love His word and love His people and love His souls. And weep for them. Look at them with sorrow in your heart, even when they have wickedly abused you and they won't listen to you. Jesus wept over Jerusalem, and look what they did to Him. And on the cross He said, "Father, forgive them, they know not what they do." Full of love and passion. So here endeth my first sermon, brother. I hope it's helpful.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. I'll be honest with you, I'm tempted to give that to the people there. Or just to play this as part of a prayer meeting once. Just a lovely 4-point thing to think on before we get into prayer. That's a wonderful.
Well, that'll be good, brother. That'll be good. I love the people in Calgary, and I've never ceased loving them. And I've never ceased praying for them. And will continue as long as God gives me breath. And my earnest prayer for you, brother, is that you will see mighty things. God has much people in that city. And He will draw them in. Draw them in, but we have to fight a good fight. We have to preach the word. We have to ward off the devil. We have to cope with... Well, this age in which we live is terrible. I often say to the students, as you know, I pity them. I pity the young men coming in. At least when I came in, okay, there was sin, there was ungodliness, but nothing like now. Nothing like now. You didn't have evangelicals who doubted, called themselves evangelicals, who doubted the divinity of Christ. You didn't have that. When I was growing up here, some of the sins, like homosexuality and so on, you would have been jailed for that. But now, if you even speak against it, you probably will be jailed for it, or shut down in some way. And, you know, drink and drugs and what's available to young people on the internet and that sort of stuff, it is a foul world we're in. And the opposition, people used to believe in God. You know, even though they were maybe not Christians, but they believed in God. They feared God. They don't, an awful lot of people don't fear God now. Don't believe in God at all. And if you could quote the Bible in my day, well, people say, well, it's the word of God, so it's true. They don't say that now. It's only a book to them, written by men, and there's no authority. There's no absolutes anymore. There's nothing's really right and nothing's really wrong. It's up to you what you think is right, what you think is wrong. And that kind of thing is creeping in, and it's creeping into churches in a big way. Yeah. And Brother I pity young folk, you know, really do. Pray for them that God will help them, you know.
Yeah.
Help you to stand through.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, no, absolutely right. That's helped those alliterated S's as well. I mean, it couldn't be more Presbyterian than that. But that's lovely. Love for the Saviour, love for the Scriptures, love for the saints, and love for the souls of men. Yeah, absolutely. So right, so right. And it's like with all the truth of the Bible, it's not anew, but we so easily forget, and it's good to have the heart and the mind focused again on those core things.